Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, the NBA owned the day yesterday with the draft and a lot of movement. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Lee Ellis joins us from The Athletic. How are you, my friend?
Good, thanks, Tony. How are you?
Good. All right, let's start off with the top three. We kind of figured that those three guys would go 1, 2, and 3. Any surprise in the order of how they went?
I think just given what we knew about last night, any one of those three guys, depending on which mock board you looked at, was going to go number one. I think going into the night, I thought LaMelo Ball probably had the best chance of going number one. But overall, I think the Timberwolves made the right choice by taking Anthony Edwards. I think he's probably the best NBA-ready guy in the draft. And for the Timberwolves, this was an important draft because it was the sort of draft where you didn't really want the number one pick, in that sense that, you know, last year, for example, Zion Williamson, we knew he was the number one pick, you know, basically all season long. But this was one of those drafts where there were so many different possible options at that number one, you just didn't want to get it wrong. And I think the Wolves made the right choice. I think they made the safest choice as well by taking Edwards number one. I mean, LaMelo Ball, you know, we know that he spent last season out in Australia, but he only played 14 games or so in a men's league playing around, you know, other professional basketballers. But that was so long ago and we just didn't see him over here that it was a little bit hard to exactly figure out what sort of player he was. And then James Wiseman as well, another guy that you like, is this guy good? We're not really sure because we didn't have a March Madness tournament this year, of course, and things were just different than what they normally are going into the draft. So I think if you're the Wolves, and apparently they were working the phone up until about 10 minutes before they made that pick, but they were still, you know, taking calls on potentially trading it, but there was nothing there that Gerson Rosas liked, and I think they just decided we'll just go with this guy. And so, you know, it's always one of those things. We always look back in 2 or 3 years and say, oh, let's redraft this draft.
Right.
And, you know, you always shuffle it around. But in the moment, I think you can only go with the knowledge you have, and I think the Wolves probably did make the right choice.
James Wiseman goes to Golden State, but the big news for the Warriors was the injury to Klay Thompson. It came quick and fast, and a lot of people, we couldn't really process what the injury was yet until he gets examined. What's the early thought on where Klay is with this injury?
Well, not good, not good. I mean, nothing confirmed yet, but certainly what was going around Twitter last night from reliable sources is that it's an Achilles injury. Whether or not he's torn it, I'm not sure, but it's just one of those things that really put a cloud over the night because it was, you know, the draft is always a fun night. It's an exciting right. night. And this news happened just beforehand that he was carried off the court playing with some, playing pickup basketball with other former and current players. And apparently the news was pretty bad coming out of that, shoot around there that he was having. So, obviously wishing all the best, hoping for the best, but it certainly doesn't sound good. I mean, we can only hope that maybe it's not a ruptured Achilles and maybe it's just a strain. I think that would be obviously great to hear. But from everything that I saw last night, and again, I have nothing confirmed. I have no inside knowledge or anything like that. But people who were reporting it and people who are close to the team were saying it's an Achilles injury. So we may not see Klay Thompson again for another season, which would just be devastating.
Absolutely.
Having lost him, you know, for last season as well.
Lee Ellis again joining us from The Athletic, also No Dunks podcast. Patrick Williams of Florida State goes to 4. I mean, look, people are going to analyze this whatever way they want, but where are the Bulls? They got Billy Donovan, and are they a team on the rise, and was this a pick that sort of questions that or adds to that?
Yeah, this is a really tough one because he didn't start a game, apparently, in Florida State. Now, I say apparently because I'm not a big college guy. I didn't follow it all that closely. So I sort of just gather my information off other mock drafts and going in tonight and reading about it. So I haven't seen a lot of this guy, so I don't know a whole lot about him. But I think if you are the Bulls, you need this, you know, a young prospect who you're going to shape and mold into the future because they're not in win-now mode, the Bulls. They've obviously been a pretty disastrous franchise for a few years now, so they're looking to sort of rebuild. Coming out of Florida State, I don't know what sort of connection he has there with Billy Donovan. But, you know, for the Bulls, they just have to get someone, I think, that they feel they can mold into the future. And a lot of these guys, again, from what I'm seeing, they're not NBA ready. They're going to be a year or two away from really contributing in the league. And I think Patrick Williams is probably another one of those guys. So the Bulls, I suspect, may even be making another move anyway. It sounds like Zach LaVine is available and they're trying to work a deal to land somebody else. I mean, there was rumors flying around about the Boston Celtics trying to get in on the James Harden deal from the Houston Rockets and potentially moving Kemba Walker to Chicago. Now, again, a lot of this speculation, a lot of this smoke and mirrors, you don't really know how much of it to believe coming into the draft night. But if that's the case with the Bulls, I think, again, that they're looking more at a prospect at a few years development before they really see an impact. So that's what I would sort of say for now on Patrick Williams.
What's your thoughts on the Rockets, speaking of them, with Harden wanting to go to Brooklyn? They're shipping Russell Westbrook. In terms of Houston, which we were just talking about this a couple of days ago, they were Chris Paul injury away from possibly going to the finals a couple of years ago. Where are the Rockets today?
Well, you know, that Chris Paul injury, that's one of the ultimate sliding doors moments in the NBA, because sure. I think if he doesn't pop his hamstring, I think they're not only going to beat the Warriors, I think they win the championship. And imagine just how the narrative around James Harden shifts then if they do go on to win the championship. But it didn't happen. We can only deal with what did happen, and of course they fell short. Now they're in that position. For me, you may as well move on from Harden and Westbrook, because I just don't see them winning a championship. I think that they've shown, you know, James Harden has shown, as good a player he is, he kind of does struggle to play with another superstar. It happened with Dwight Howard, it happened with Chris Paul, and even he and Russell Westbrook, who have been friends for over 20 years, going back to their early California days, even they were getting into it with each other last season. And you just saw again in the playoffs, down in the bubble there against the Lakers, they win that first game. And then basically the last three games, the Rockets didn't even show up. And that's just not good enough. But that's also the reputation that James Harden has been carrying with him. He's a fantastic regular season player. He's usually good in the first game or two of a playoff series, but he flames out. And I think now, if you're the Rockets, they've moved on from Morey, they've moved on from Mike D'Antoni, you may as well move on from Harden and Westbrook if you can, and try to get some young assets there, maybe even some draft picks, and reload, because it's great. I mean, James Harden was great. He won an MVP. He was a runner-up three times as well. There's no question that the Rockets were good in his time, but they're not going to win a championship. That window is, as far as I'm concerned, is closed. And they tried everything. They tried going with a big guy with Dwight Howard. They tried going with completely small ball last season, which was kind of hilariously fun to watch. But no one realistically thought that was going to win them a championship. So, you know, they've tried all sorts of things. They've spent the money. They've recruited the superstars. But that just didn't work out. And I think now it's time to move on, unless you're the Rockets and you're just happy for James Harden to go out there and keep putting up 30, 35 a night and compete for MVP. But simply, if you want to win a championship, it's not going to happen the way the roster currently is constructed.
Speaking of Daryl Morey, he was busy in Philadelphia. Al Horford's gone. In comes Seth Curry. They made some other moves. Danny Green they pick up. They got Isaiah Joe in the draft, the kid from Arkansas that likes to shoot every three-pointer he sees. Overall, though, what is Morey dealing with, and what is he doing so far since his arrival with the Sixers?
Well, I think Daryl Morey's already shown you what he likes to do. He's not going to sit there and let things play out. He wants to make a move, and Al Horford was the big one. That big contract, he's owed about $85 million, I think it is, with 3 years to go. And Al Horford, this is a funny one, because last year when the Sixers recruited him away from the Celtics, he opted out of that deal with the Celtics and went and signed with the Sixers. It was praised widely as a fantastic move. Now, that wasn't Daryl Morey, of course, that was Elton Brand. But as we know, sometimes these things on paper simply don't work out on the court. And that's what we saw with Al Horford, because I think Al Horford's one of those most reliable veterans. Fantastic defensive player, though underrated, and offensively spreads the floor. And that's exactly what Philadelphia needed, but it just didn't work out. And the Sixers knew. No one really thought the Sixers were going to trade Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. There was a little bit of talk there that maybe James Harden for Ben Simmons was going to happen, but I didn't really think there was too much traction to that one. But Al Horford was a big one. If they could move on from him, then things change a little bit here in the outlook for the Sixers. And getting Seth Curry, I think that's a great move. I'm kind of surprised the Mavericks gave him up, because I thought he was very, very good for them. But Philadelphia, that's exactly what they need, another guy who can come off the bench, and hit those threes, a bit of a playmaker. And Seth has really grown in the last couple of years because he's bounced around a lot in his early days in the NBA. And even though he's kind of bouncing around again, that was his second trip there in Dallas, and he was in Portland the season before. But you know what you're getting, and that is a guy who can come out there and just keep that scoreboard ticking. You know, not a great defender, but a guy who can facilitate the offense and hit those open shots when they need him to. So very, very nice little move here from the Sixers. And, of course, Danny Green, veteran. I expect he probably will stay there. He was traded, of course, from the Lakers to the Thunder earlier in the week, or late last week, perhaps. Danny Green, again, at this stage of his career, he just needs to sit out there in the corner, catch those three-pointers, and he can contribute.
Going to get you out of here on a larger, big-picture question here. Because of the pandemic, we have got a skewed schedule. We've got everything's a little out of whack. But when we get back and rolling with the NBA, there are going to be some teams that have played 2 months ago, and there's going to be some teams that did not. The last action they saw was March. What do you expect the early part of the season is going to look like, given that dynamic of playability?
Yeah, I wish I knew the answer, because I don't think anyone knows. And teams, you know, we were talking about earlier there with Klay Thompson, the Warriors, they're one of those teams, you know, that was so dominant for 5 years there, but obviously last season things didn't work out for them, and they haven't played since March. And last season, Draymond, when he played, he just looked like he was exhausted and he wasn't all that interested. And then Steph Curry missed, I think, about 3 months with a broken finger.
Right.
You know, so I think the Warriors kind of saw last season as that was the season they were going to take that one off. But of course, it turned into, you know, a 9-month layoff, which is not ideal. So, I mean, the bubble basketball, I thought, was actually very, very good. It was a very high standard, but it was under different circumstances because everyone was in that same environment. Now, the league is trying to get back into teams traveling around and flying around while reduced. I don't think there's going to be too much cross-country flying here. So teams are going to be flying in and out of cities and playing. So it adds a different element. And some of these teams, and I live here in Atlanta, we haven't seen the Hawks since March as well. You know, they're just dying to get back out there and start playing again, start playing some competitive basketball. But, you know, no matter how much scrimmaging you've been doing prior, nothing is quite like going out there and playing. So I expect the players will be ready and they'll be in good condition, but the actual gameplay might be a little bit scrappy at the start, just because, you know, you can't ever really replicate those game conditions, no matter how hard you try to into scrimmage games within your own team. But it's a fascinating situation we're in, because it looked like the Players Association originally pushed back and they said, we don't want to start before the middle of January. And then the owner said, well, it's going to cost you $500 million. And all of a sudden, everyone was like, oh, we're okay. Yeah, we can start it up again. So, but, you know, on top of that as well, you know, you look at the coronavirus situation right now, and that's just out of hand completely. So that's another thing that's going to really factor into this. And I know the NBA, when they release their proposed schedule for the season, there is an all-star break, even though there won't be an all-star game. But I think that's almost more a break in the schedule for potential makeup games if games are missed, if teams and players do contract the virus, because I think it'll be incredibly unlikely that we'll go the entire season without at least one team having to miss a game or postpone a game due to it, because we've seen it, of course, in the NFL and Major League Baseball as well, and college football. So, you know, teams have been affected, but the NBA is, I think, just trying to put a little bit of a safety net in there to give themselves a few extra games to make up those games that they're expecting to miss at some point.
We always love having you on, Lee. Always good stuff. Good insight. And we hope to catch up with you soon when the season does get rolling in about a month.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Lee Ellis of The Athletic. Again, you can catch him also on No Dunks podcast, because The Athletic, they deliver every sports story that matters. Full-time local writers dedicated to your teams, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, exclusive stories. They got the national names you know, Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel, David Aldridge, Ken Rosenthal, Lindsey Jones. They provide unrivaled league-level perspective and insight, and it's all personalized and ad-free. And if you're looking for a fantasy football edge or the long-term outlook of your NBA team, The Athletic's got the sports coverage you need. Subscribe today, $1 a week at theathletic.com/radioweek. Once again, that's theathletic.com/radioweek. One thought of something he mentioned about the All-Star game that the Pro Bowl is doing. Maybe it'll work in the NBA. Next on Wake Up Call.